Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. As you just heard on the news, reaction is coming in to Governor Cuomo's new plan for taxes in New York State, even before the plan is officially released. Presidential contender Newt Gingrich, who happened to be in New York for a fundraiser yesterday, said, quote, "If I were the Florida Chamber of Commerce, I would run ads, encourage him to do it." Yeah, it's election season. Hello, Florida. But Mayor Bloomberg, too, is lukewarm at best.
I haven't seen what the governor's plan. I've not talked to him about it. I think you have to look at everything. But fundamentally, you cannot tax your ways out of problems. You've got to get your expenses under control and build the economic base so that if you have tax revenue increases, they should come from an expanded economy.
Mayor Bloomberg yesterday said he hasn't seen the plan. Nobody's seen the plan because it's not really released yet. But the governor did release an outline in a letter to the press and others and an op-ed. He said he would drop the current high-income surcharge set to expire at the end of the month. That's a 1% additional state income tax on singles making $200,000 or more, couples making $250,000. That 1-point tax would expire, but the governor would propose more brackets because he says New Yorkers making $20,000 a year shouldn't pay the same percentage in state taxes as people making $20 million. The plan also calls for new state stimulus spending to help create jobs now, they hope, but a 2% a year cap in state spending growth. Now, yesterday we got a reaction from Catherine Wild, as you may have heard, who represents Wall Street firms and other major businesses in the city. She had previously opposed new taxes on the wealthy, but supports Cuomo's change of heart. Now we'll get reaction from State Senator Liz Krueger of Manhattan, who supports progressive taxation. Senator Krueger, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much, Brian.
First, can you explain the 1 percentage point tax surcharge that is set to expire on December 31st? Is it 1 point on all taxable income for those high earners, or only on that portion over $200,000 or $250,000?
Correct. It only goes into effect on the over $200,000 for single or over $300,000 for couples. And in fact, because you also deal with gross versus net, it really only kicks in at $250,000 or $350,000 for the household. The governor is clearly saying he doesn't want to continue that across the board 1% surcharge, but he's making an awful lot of statements that make it sound like he's agreeing with me on the need to make our personal income tax more progressive, meaning adjustments based on how much income you have. Mm-hmm. He's taking right from proposals I've given him, which other people have also, to increase the number of brackets. So right now New York State has only 5 brackets you're in as a taxpayer, meaning once you hit $40,000 a year income as a couple, you're in the highest tax bracket. And I think most people understand people making $1 million and up paying the same percentage tax level as people making $40,000 is not progressive.
And then would it be progressive between those numbers? For example, would New Yorkers making $1 million a year pay a higher rate than those making $250,000?
Yes. In my definition of what is a progressive personal income tax, that would be exactly the case. As you pointed out, none of us know the details of what the governor is going to propose. He's talking in outlines about a philosophy that seems to match much of what I've been proposing. You know, to be honest, people should remember back in the 70s, we had in New York State 14 different tax brackets ranging from a tax rate of 2% up to 15%. The federal government has 9 tax brackets. We should be, I believe, parallel to the federal model and adjust them for indexing for inflation so that you don't have what they call bracket creep. There's all these really good things you can do to make our personal income tax system fairer in New York and also provide for additional revenue that the state desperately needs right now.
Listeners, we can take your reactions to the emerging tax reform plan from Governor Cuomo's office, 212-433-WNYC. What do you like? What do you not like? 212-433-9692. As we talk to New York State Senator Liz Krueger, Democrat from the east side of Manhattan. Now, you were in the legislature when the current 1% surcharge on those high-income levels passed, and I presume you voted for the surcharge, yes?
I did, and at the time, it was scheduled to sunset when the federal government was scheduled to sunset the huge Bush-era tax cuts on wealthy Americans. So there was some logic to sunsetting it this year. We, the state of New York, believed that the federal government would reverse itself on the poor policy decisions of George Bush and start to tax at a more fair and progressive rate all Americans. That would translate to more money coming from the federal government to the state government, justifying dropping that surcharge. As you know and your listeners know, the feds never held up their end of the bargain. They have never reversed on the Bush-era tax cuts. We know for a fact we're drawing less and less money from the federal government. And when the post-super committee fiasco finishes in Congress sometime soon, we will know exactly how much less money we're getting from the federal government. Nobody wants higher taxes, but you know what? Government's job is to provide fundamental public services and to pay for them through revenue.
You know, I didn't know that there was that linkage that the temporary New York State tax hike on the highest earners was coupled with the Bush federal tax cuts on the highest earners, and they were both set to expire at the same time. That's an interesting thing that I didn't know. How much money does that surcharge actually generate for the state? How much was it last year, if you happen to know?
An estimated $5 billion. It may come in less than that because we're seeing all of our tax revenues coming in at somewhat lower level. So it may have only been about $4.5 billion on an annual basis. It was originally projected to be $5 billion.
Was it a lot more in 2006, 2007, the height of the bubble?
Well, we didn't have the supplement then.
Oh.
It hasn't been in that long.
This was enacted in response to
this
the financial crisis?
This was under in the Governor Spitzer one budget that he was around for.
Got it. Now, Governor Cuomo says the surtax in its current form didn't do much to help the middle class. Do you agree with that? And if so, why would this new progressive tax system be any different?
Oh, because if you go to a broader range of brackets where you can have a more progressive sort of curved up rate of taxes, you can increase revenue for the state and even lower it for some people who are working at lower incomes. Again, I don't know the governor's proposal. The proposal I have given the governor would allow us to decrease taxes for people earning between $40,000 and $100,000, would hold harmless on the tax rate people between $100,000 and that $350,000 a year level, and would increase taxes for people above that. And I'm projecting that my modeling would bring the state of New York about the $4.5 billion we're estimated to be losing if we allow the supplement to sunset. So it would get us approximately the same amount of revenue we've been seeing under the supplement model, but I believe be far more equitable and fair and would give a tax reduction to people earning less than $100,000 a year.
Tim in Baldwin, you're on WNYC with State Senator Liz Krueger on the governor's emerging tax reform plan. Hello.
Hi. I think maybe she just made the point I've been trying to make, but it doesn't get articulated very well. Cuomo made the point that this should be charged at the federal level, and that's the only entity that can charge taxes fairly, because as soon as New York State raises its taxes, the big money, and this is, again, where she kind of misses the point, the big money is where the tax, 23% of our income goes to the big money, the 1%, 2% on the top tier. If they were paying an equitable tax, we're talking about the percentage of their revenue that is generated by the government and society that creates mm-hmm. all of our incomes.
Right. So you two agree that in theory, more taxation should be at the federal level because that's the bigger pool and then distributed as needed around the country.
Now, it's also true that, you know, people complain that if New York State is a higher tax state than other states, that we won't be competitive with other states. Now, so in a perfect world, we would have a much, much stronger and more progressive tax system federally. The federal government would distribute that revenue equitably throughout the 50 states based on reality, not politics. But we don't live in that world. So New York State has to take care of our population. We can complain about the federal government failing to do the right thing, but at the end of the day, I'm elected, as are all the legislators and the governor, to represent the interests of the 19 people who live here. So I don't get to control the federal government or clearly even the state government. So we need to do it here at home.
New York State has to take care of its 19 million people. But what about New York City? You represent part of New York City. I want to play you a clip of Catherine Wild on this program yesterday, president of the Partnership for New York City, which represents Wall Street firms and other major corporations here, talking about how a tax hike on the wealthy hurts the city compared to other parts of the state. Listen.
About 80% of the proceeds of the current tax surcharge, the so-called millionaire's tax, come from or are generated by people who live and work in New York City and our metropolitan suburbs. So we're paying most of the tax out of New York City. Last year, we did not get, we had disproportionate cuts to New York City in terms of state aid. So one area of concern is that continued investment in the things that make New York City a great place to live, work, and do business not be sacrificed.
So, Senator Krueger, what's your reaction to that as a representative of New York City at the state legislature level?
Partly agree, partly don't agree. It is true New York City has always been a tax sender to Albany for the rest of the state, where we send more to Albany than we get back, because we do have greater levels of wealth here in New York City. We also have large numbers of poor people, of course. So the dilemma is, if we don't generate the revenue in state taxes and then fight for New York City to get its fair share, we simply don't get the money at all. So yes, last year, New York City took a significant hit in the state budget. I urged that at that time, Mayor Bloomberg, to support the continuation of the millionaire's tax as the only way we were going to be able to give New York City its fair share of state funding, because we don't get to print money in the basement up at the Capitol. Mm. So either we're generating revenue that we distribute equitably throughout the state, or we don't have the money for anybody. And I think really what happened last year, where we saw $10 billion in cuts in the state budget, they did. New York City's education system took a big hit. Our human services took a big hit. And in a perfect world where we had adequate tax revenue, that wouldn't happen, which is why I'm urging not just a progressive personal income tax, but a whole series of changes to how we approach our tax system in New York State. It's not the only answer.
Mark in Suffolk County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how we doing?
Good.
Just a little background here. I work the city. I live in Suffolk County. I made about 85 this year. I'll probably make about 100, 110 maybe next year. And as it is, between city, state, federal, they take a third of my income. The city steals 3% of my income for a waiver. I don't even get to vote in the city. I get no rights in the city, but they take my money. And now you're telling me that they're going to raise my taxes again because I happen to make, you know, if I make a little over 100, they're going to take more money from me?
Well, would they, Senator Krueger, in his case, if he's making over a little over 100,000, would his income tax, state income tax, go up compared to the status quo?
We don't know what the governor's going to propose.
How about under your plan?
If he had jumped over 100,000, he might have seen a small increase in state taxes. Although, I have to say, if he's jumping from 80,000 to over 100,000 in 1 year, this caller has been having a very good year compared to most New Yorkers.
Yeah, well, I mean, it ain't like I'm rich. I work for my money.
That's right.
You know, I'm driving a 16-year-old truck. I'm not, you know, for especially for the city or the surrounding areas, the property tax, everything else. $100,000 is not. I mean, you can live on it. Don't get me wrong, but it's not rich. And for a lot of people in the city, like you said, they're poor, low income, and I'm subsidizing these businesses, paying these people $5 an hour. And then you're going to take more of my tax money for it. It's a little, you know, I think the priority is a little out of whack. I like, you know, progressive tax, whatever you do, you got to do. But, you know, you hit the middle class, you squeeze them to the benefit of people that, you know, maybe don't want to work or maybe their claims of disability or anything else.
I want to clarify, under my proposal, you wouldn't see a tax increase. You just wouldn't see a tax decrease. So my proposal did not go up for anyone under $350,000 a year as a couple. It just wouldn't lower your taxes, while in my proposal, if you were below $100,000, you would see a tax decrease. Again, I'm not discussing what the governor might actually propose. Right. So we're talking hypotheticals at the moment.
Mark, thanks a lot. Call us again.
Thank
right?
you. Thank you.
Robert in Manhattanville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Brian. I would like Senator Krueger, if she could, to address an issue of statistics that are publicly available. You know, in the federal context with taxes, we have the Congressional Budget Office and the Joint Committee on Taxation, which are recognized to be nonpartisan, objective sources of statistical analysis.
Ask your question because we're running short on time.
So what is available publicly that one could say is objective about the issue of revenue and taxation and how it affects New York State, with a nod to what Mayor Bloomberg was saying about that the wealthiest will be driven away from the state.
Right. Robin, I'm going to leave it there. Forgive me. But it goes to that Newt Gingrich quote from his press availability in Manhattan yesterday that I cited at the top, Senator Krueger. He said, if I were the Florida Chamber of Commerce, I would run ads, encourage him to do it, meaning encourage Cuomo to raise taxes on the wealthy, because then more New Yorkers who can afford to do so will relocate to Florida.
Well, in fact, there's academic research that has been done, most recently on New Jersey, showing that when their taxes went up on the wealthiest residents in New Jersey, they did not flee the state. There has been data collected over multiple years here in New York State showing that the patterns of migration and immigration do not seem to match the marginal tax rates at the state level.
And you know, we just had a Star Ledger Tom Moran expose on pharmaceutical company executives who live in Pennsylvania and run their pharmaceutical companies in New Jersey because the state tax in Pennsylvania is so low.
And again, if they were in New York, we would be taxing them even if they lived in Pennsylvania because they generated their revenue here in New York, which is a strong argument for a commuter type of tax or a tax on people who work here but live somewhere else.
Which we don't have now. We don't have a commuter tax.
We don't have a commuter tax, but we do tax people's income when they earn their income in New York and live out of state.
Avram in Manhattan, we're going to close with you with an important political question. Avram, go.
Well, I think this is a direct result of the Occupy Wall Street movement. In October, Cuomo was completely on the other side of this issue. He agreed with Newt Gingrich completely, and now this is a reversal. So this is, what's the difference? Occupy Wall Street.
It's certainly a possibility, Senator, that if they hadn't brought more visibility, more of the public spotlight on an ongoing way to the issue of inequality, Cuomo and the business community and others could have just gotten away with keeping the tax rates the way they were. Do you disagree?
No, I believe in participatory democracy, Brian, and that means everybody participating in a broad range of models to make sure that we in elected office hear them, hear what they need, what they're upset about, and in fact, be responsive to the needs of our communities.
Let me throw in one side question. Is there anything in the Cuomo plan, to your knowledge, which either helps or hurts the MTA, which is also facing big deficits? I heard a rumor that I don't want to repeat, but is there anything in there that either helps or hurts the MTA, as far as you know?
I have not seen any official documents from the Cuomo administration, so I cannot answer.
Okay. I'll assume what I heard was just blah, blah, blah. State Senator Liz Krueger represents parts of Manhattan's east side. By the way, you have those folks in your right?
I do. When I Occupy represent the largest number of millionaires.
When Occupy
State
protesters went to rally outside the Upper East Side homes of the 1%, as they put it, like Mayor Bloomberg and Jamie Dimon and David Cook, that was your district, wasn't it?
Yes, that was my district.
So you're not torn here as a politician with different constituencies?
No, I have been very clear about my position on the importance of progressive taxation and those who can pay more so that we have this kind of society and city and state everybody wants to live in. And I will tell you, I have heard very few of my constituents disagreeing with the positions I have been taking.
And many wealthier people willing to go for the more progressive taxation, you're saying also, well, right?
Again, as I explained to somebody recently, I actually did my master's thesis on Richard Nixon's progressive tax policies. Richard Nixon, not really a liberal Democrat last time I checked, but his positions on taxation are extremely consistent with mine. And so, in fact, I have many Republican constituents who go, that all makes sense. How did we get so far away from there?
State Senator Liz Krueger, Democrat from the east side of Manhattan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nixon, I think, was for a negative income tax for the poor. That's how progressive he was. And your reactions coming up next. I should say we will get Egyptian democracy activist Mona Eltahawy's reactions to the elections there. What does she think about Islamist parties winning the elections after she and so many others were out in the streets in Cairo for secular democracy? So we'll talk to Mona Eltahawy about that and more. Maybe you heard that she was detained and injured the other day during a protest. Mona Eltahawy coming up next.